hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM/FM shortwave talk radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, and we're live with you from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network here in Round Rock, Texas, on this Thursday, the 23rd of August, 2007. On today's program, I have Randy Kelton with me, and we'll be discussing various issues here. One of which, of course, is this deal coming up that it's not illegal to be in this country. Well, that's what a Kansas state judge has said. And the deal was that a man by the name of Martinez was doing drug deals, got caught up in a sting, and his son was actually dealing drugs along with him. But there's no presumptive evidence to deport the guy because, well, he's an illegal, but should he be denied people paying his defense for him or anything else? And I wanted to ask Randy about this because it appears that Congress is trying to squirrel around this issue. You know, it's a misdemeanor you come into this country, folks. And you do a crime here, generally you end up in jail and then you're deported. But they want to put this guy on probation. So, you know, hey, at least his kid, his drug-dealing son, wasn't born in the country. In the second hour, I want to get into a couple of different issues. The Fed injecting more money, billions more, into the stock market to enable the banks to try to clean up their act. And it's rather fascinating. I asked the question, well, who's on the hook for this? You know, who bailed out the savings and loans? Well, the taxpayers did. But when I asked Bob Chapman this question, isn't the taxpayer on the hook again? And he said, no, not directly. Well, we'll get into that issue as well. Diebold Election Systems is no more. That's okay. Everybody take heart. They've been bought out. I guess all the ranting and raving out there really paid off. But they're just covering it up, sold the company off. And I think the same guy that was the head of Diebold is now the head of the new company. So different circumstance, same players, same thing. Coming up on a break here in just about a minute. Also wanted to cover in the second hour as well. There's a lot, and this is from AlJazeera.com. And it's rather fascinating, more on Iran and how Ahmadinejad wants to kill all the Jews. I don't know if you were around with me yesterday when I read that article that was a paid article, and it was placed in U.S. News and World Report that, well, it's gone beyond just anti-Semitism. Now there's anti-Zionist out there. So we'll also get into that subject. We'll break here in a couple seconds, come back on the other side with Randy Kelton right after this short break.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Also, I'm covering in the second hour a proposed ban. A councilman in Atlanta doesn't want teenagers to wear the baggy pants, so he's proposing a ban on baggy pants in Atlanta. It's true, folks. So at any rate, yeah. And again, I'll say that you can take the individual out of the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of the individual. And that's what we're seeing. It is that type of mindset, and it's that type of cultural shock that we're seeing. And see, we never got really upset about too many things until it spread from the ghettos and went into the white neighborhoods in the more affluent areas. So we'll be covering that as well. I have Randy Kelton with me. Good afternoon, Randy.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Doing wonderful.
I understand you're spending some time with the Visa over there.
Yes, I am.
You could do a lot worse. Wonderful people, are they not?
They are. They have become a couple of my favorite human beings on the planet.
Yeah, and not hard to look at. They're a handsome couple, extremely bright, and got a nice little house. I've been over there several times myself, and it's like a different planet walking into their house.
Christine, though, is a lot easier to look at than Bill.
Yeah, she just had a birthday, and Christine, I promise I won't tell on you and tell the world how old you are. She's got a link on our site, the Freedom Forum. If you go to the main page on republicbroadcasting.org, on the right-hand side at the bottom, you'll see the little tag, Freedom Forum. That's her forum. You got an opinion to express? She has all the news links up there. Good site to go to. I wanted to get into this for a few minutes. There's a situation in Kansas where this Nicholas L. Martinez got busted. And this is on WorldNet Daily, folks. If you'd like to go to WorldNet Daily, you can also pull up the story. And basically what happened here, Randy, is this trial court judge, one Judge Patrick McCanny, who had ordered Martinez to jail on the grounds he's an illegal alien. Now, the appeals court overturned the decision. It says, federal law declares an alien's unsanctioned entry in the United States to be a crime. While Congress has criminalized illegal entry into the country, it has not made the continued presence of an illegal alien inside the United States a crime unless the illegal alien has previously been deported and has again entered the country illegally, and federal law makes it a felony for an alien who has been deported to the to thereafter re-enter the United States or at any time thereafter to be found inside the United States. And it explained that those entering the United States illegally are subject to deportation, which can be based on any number of factors. However, and here's where the little glitch comes in, while an illegal alien is subject to deportation, that person's ongoing presence in the United States is and of itself not a crime unless that person has been previously deported and regained illegal entry. Now, that's according to Judge Patrick McCanny. Now, Barton County Attorney Doug Matthews told the Wichita Eagle that that courts in at least two other states, Oregon and Minnesota, have come to similar conclusions. It was not immediately announced whether prosecutors would appeal the conclusion of the state Supreme Court. And according to Detective Terry L. Millard, he arranged for a controlled buy. It was a sting to buy illegal drugs from Martinez. The first transaction was conducted with a transfer of powdered cocaine from Martinez's young son. The second transaction was consummated by Martinez delivering the drugs itself. Now, and here's the really weird thing about this, is that they're saying that, well, we've got to pay his legal fees. The judge wants to put him on probation. And, well, this whole thing, him just being an illegal and committing this crime, is not just immediate grounds to not allow him on probation. Then I guess then deport him. What is the deal with the United States Congress? Should we up the ante here for illegals being in this country other than a misdemeanor for the first time around?
The fact that he entered illegally is grounds to deport him. So this sounds like nonsense. This sounds like they're finding the tiniest little hair to split for reasons I can't imagine. If he's caught committing a felony, that's grounds for deportation. So I don't understand what the question is at all. Doesn't make any difference if his continued residence in the United States isn't a continuous crime. He entered illegal and therefore is a criminal. He was caught committing a felony criminal act. Either one of those are grounds for deportation. What's the question?
Well, and it says here, according to the United States Code, and I'm looking at the actual appeal here that was in the Court of Appeals, the state of Kansas, they cite United States Code, and it says, those persons who enter this country illegally are subject to deportation. You just said that. That's 8 U.S.C. 1227, and I guess that was made back in the year 2000. Deportation may be based upon any number of factors, including the alien's initial entry into the country contrary to the law or acts while in the country. Well, he did two acts this time. He entered illegally, and then he was busted for selling drugs, so there's two strikes. And they go on to say on this the United States Code, such as the commission of certain crimes. However, while an illegal alien is subject to deportation, that person's ongoing presence in the United States in and of itself, and I'm reading the crime, their United States Code, in and of itself is not a crime unless that person has been previously deported and regained illegal entry into this country. According to the United States Code, it's not a crime for him to be here.
Well, even that's understandable, but I don't understand what the point is. that's a moot point. Whether he continues committing, whether it's a crime every day he's here or not, is really doesn't matter. He's here illegally to start with. So unless he's being, they're trying to charge him with being in the country illegally rather than entering the country illegally, this is a real fine hair to split.
I was just going to say, talk about splitting hairs. Well, according to this judge, he said, the problem that arises for me is to follow the guidelines here is because Mr. Martinez is illegally in the country and is in violation of the probation rules right from the start. And they're talking about putting him on probation. He says, if I were to place him on probation, he has to comply with all the conditions of the probation, and he can't do that because he's in violation of the law, not to violate any federal or state laws. So his continued presence is,
okay.
Yeah.
So since he's already committed this crime, but just being here isn't violating the probation because being here is not committing the crime. Now I understand why they raised the fine point.
Well, and apparently it is a way, and I smell some backing here by anti-illegal coalitions, or should I say anti-illegal coalitions inside the United States, to any which way they can to keep these people in this country. Now, they cite here that the judge says that he has to comply, and so he's in violation of the federal laws. So in order for this state to move forward on this case, they have to resolve the issue of the federal statutes. Apparently, that's where this judge is having a problem. How can he comply with the probation when he's already in violation just being here?
I would say from the judge's perspective, he's asked exactly the right question. So you say he's not committing a crime every day he's here, so we never get to that. Because we haven't got past the criminal act of being here in the first place. So at least we got one judge that's thinking, and we always have attorneys doing sharp practice, weaseling for any hole they can crawl under.
Well, and this is weaseling, and the way I understand the federal laws, and I made the assumption incorrectly, I thought it was a felony to enter into this country illegally, and evidently it is not. It is a classed misdemeanor crime, but if you're caught and deported and you come back in again, then you can be charged feloniously. I would, whether a lawbreaker is felonious or he's kind of some kind of misdemeanor kind of person, I would put 36 to 42 million illegals in this country of being a little bit past the stage of misdemeanor status, wouldn't you?
I would think so, but wouldn't it would seem to follow that if it is determined in a court of law that the person is in the country illegally, the next and most reasonable step is not to put him on probation, but to deport him, and then the prosecution becomes moot, unless he manages to find a way to enter the country legally. Then the prosecution's not moot anymore. Then you can go ahead with the prosecution.
The Minutemen people out of South Carolina wrote into WorldNet Daily, and their little comment was, so let's see, while unauthorized entry in the United States is illegal, being in the country after having entered it illegal is not illegal, so therefore there is no crime. That's basically what this is boiling down to, and evidently the state judge is having a problem with the federal guidelines. Well, I'm having a problem with the whole debate, you know, getting in there splitting these legal fine hairs when you have somebody, you know, that's already illegal to begin with and has no rights in this country.
Well, I think the judge is really, you know, he has to rule on the law before him, and it looks like that's essentially what he's saying. That you guys are bringing me an argument that's moot. Throw the guy out. It's over. We don't have a problem.
But in the meantime, the American taxpayer is on the hook for paying his legal bills. I like the way justice and the American way works. We'll take the break. We'll be back with Randy Kelton right after this.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097 or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Randy Kelton is my guest for this hour. He's got to run off and go do another radio interview for 2 hours after he gets off with me. But Randy, what has been going on with the courts? I guess about 25 years ago, you got pulled over for a traffic ticket. That lit your candle, and you've been burning it real hot for 25 years.
Yes, I have. I started out after spending the night in jail for driving the headlight out. I looked at that, and it didn't seem right, so I got out the Code of Criminal Procedure and Penal Code and read them, and I found out that it wasn't right, and I started digging. And I've been digging for about 25 years. I finally got to the bottom, and the bottom goes to the top. Recently, a kid named Danny Schultz was arrested in Montgomery County back in February. In middle of March, I went to the Court of Criminal Appeals, highest criminal court in the state, and filed a petition for writ of habeas corpus. Habeas corpus is the only court filing mentioned in the Constitution. It's mentioned as the great writ, as a writ of right. It's the only filing mentioned in the Code of Criminal Procedure that the court is commanded to approve. Under 11.15 Code of Criminal Procedure. So I filed with the Court of Criminal Appeals, and they said, well, you can't file that until you file a motion for leave to file. So before they'll let me file a constitutional writ, I have to file a motion asking them for their permission to file it. So I filed a motion asking for their permission. And they denied it on April 17th. So April 27th, I went to the district attorney and asked the district attorney to arrest every one of them for official oppression, for taking a constitutional right and converting it from a right to a privilege, subjecting it to the caprice of the courts. If anyone thinks this is not a police state, they need to look to writ of habeas corpus. The only thing writ of habeas corpus is good for is to protect an innocent person from being prosecuted.
And it goes without saying, Randy, that the writ of habeas corpus, I mean, this you could put into any judge. If you were sitting in jail, and I've heard stories from friends that were in jail and made out a writ of habeas corpus in the back of a match cover, and it was presented to a judge. And the deal is to present you in front of a judge. In other words, they just can't do the old midnight dieseling thing, shipping you from location to location on trumped up or pretended charges. That you had to, your body had to be presented to a court in order to start the jurisprudence, should we say, process.
Exactly. And the reason I say it only helps the innocent is I've had people want me to help them prepare a writ of habeas corpus. And I ask them what happened. They tell me the situation. And I said, this won't help you. You want me to help you prepare a writ of habeas corpus, and the writ of habeas corpus tells whoever is holding you, bring the body before this court and show cause as to why they're being held. Well, they'll bring you before the court, and the sheriff will say, well, I'm holding this guy because he had 2 pounds of pot in his pocket. And the judge will say, that'll work. Back to jail. It won't help the guilty. The only one it'll help is the innocent. So why would the courts go to so much trouble to deny writ of habeas corpus? Why would the highest judges in the state risk criminal prosecution to keep from hearing a writ? Well, it may be that writ is about 60 pages and just stuffed full of one due process violation after another, and they absolutely did not want to deal with it. All of this research for the last 25 years is sitting in that writ of habeas corpus. It demonstrates how most every step from arrest to trial is presently practiced is not only wrong, it is very specifically against particular law. And not just that it's against law, but what crime they commit when they do it and why they do it the way it's done, what their motivation is. And the court didn't want to hear it. I filed that with Travis County District Attorney. Well, actually, I filed it with the grand jury. I went down to the grand jury's office when they were meeting and handed 12 folders to the bailiff and instructed the bailiff to tell the foreman that I had business with the grand jury, but she called the district attorney instead. The district attorney insisted that the grand jury was real busy, their schedule was full, and they wouldn't have time to entertain my complaints. But she swore on a stack of Bibles that if I'd leave them with her, she'd give them to the next grand jury. You probably won't believe this, but she lied to me.
No, not a clerk in a court. They'd never do that, Randy.
I was crushed. I couldn't believe she'd do that. So I went back on July the 23rd, checked the minutes of the grand jury, found no reference to criminal complaints against the judges of the Court of Criminal Appeals. So I went to the bailiff and handed her these set of criminal complaints and said, tell the foreman I have business with the grand jury. And instead, again, she called the prosecuting attorney, spoke a minute, handed me the phone, said, she wants to talk to you. This is the district attorney. And I told her, no, I can't talk to her. These criminal complaints against the district attorney. She's a criminal.
Randy,
I don't talk to criminals.
Hold that thought right there. This is a fascinating story. And you've been doing a lot with grand juries. I want to get into that subject as well. Folks, when the system, the matrix, turns its fangs and its gaze upon you, there is an out, and it's called the grand jury. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
All right, we're back. My guest for the balance of this hour, Randy Kelton. Randy, please pick up with your story. So you've got the clerk that wants to hook you up with the prosecuting attorney, and evidently the business that you want to do is not with but against the prosecuting attorney.
Yes, she told me that the prosecutor wanted to talk to me, and I told her, well, I can't talk to the prosecutor. These complaints are against the prosecutor, and she's the criminal. Well, I don't talk to criminals. And this poor Bailey, she didn't know what to do. She took the phone back and said, well, he said you're the criminal, and he don't talk to criminals. And I had a whole room full of witnesses, and I can hear this snickering there behind me. And in a few minutes, Claire Brown came out, and she was the prosecutor. What I accused her of was violating Article 2.03 Code of Criminal Procedure. It's right up there at the front. It's really the first thing the legislature commands the prosecutor to do. In all of the code, first thing is if the prosecutor's made known that a public, it says it's made known in any manner that a public official has violated a law relating to his office, and I am paraphrasing here because it's a little long and convoluted, that the prosecutor must reduce the complaint to an information and submit it to the grand jury. No discretion. After 203, 204, 5, and 6 describe the normal criminal procedure in normal criminal cases. It essentially says the same thing, but this one's special for public officials. When the new district attorney in Denton County read it, he said, well, that takes us off the hook. Yes, it does. A prosecutor should never be in a position to decide whether or not to prosecute someone he works with.
Or himself.
Yeah. Well, this was even different because it was herself. I charged her for not giving the Court of Criminal Appeals to him. See, she shouldn't be in that position to make that decision. And I tried to keep her out of it. So she would have plausible deniability to keep these high judges from getting all upset at her. But she was a little excited and didn't handle herself well. And that's what you'll find out when you go after these officials. They don't know how to handle it. If you get charges filed against you, it's a new thing, and you're not used to it. You really don't know how to handle it. And it's kind of devastating and debilitating. Well, when you do it to them, same thing. I tell people, you could sit down and try to figure out what is the dumbest thing this person could do. They'll outsmart you every time. Claire Dawson Brown came down and told me that I could not present criminal charges against her to the grand jury.
Oh, and where did she pull that little bit of legalese from?
I told her, Miss Brown, you need to get out of here. You are in deep water here. You need to go away. Send someone else to talk to me. And then she had an armed guard with her, a female investigator, and she stepped up and started to say something, and I told her, with all due respect, you need to get out of here as well. If we need someone in here with a pistol, go get another sheriff's deputy. But both of you are in very deep water here. And to this guard's credit, she seemed to be the only one who understood that this was a problem. She held up both hands with her palms toward me like, okay, took a step back and kept her mouth shut. But Claire Brown insisted I give those complaints to the sheriff's department. I insisted that would be a bad idea. If I did that, sheriff's department would give them to the prosecuting attorney. The prosecuting attorney would throw them in the trash. And I almost didn't believe this when she said it. She said, Mr. Kelton, if you leave those here, I will throw them in the trash. And I felt like raising both hands and looking up and saying, there is a God.
Now, were you ever able to make, I'll get this out, the presentment to the grand jury?
No, not yet. It kind of goes to what I'm doing. I don't care if I never get in front of them. I'm stirring up so much stink. You know, when Claire Dawson Brown, what I did was I left there and filed criminal charges against the bailiff, the investigator, and Claire Brown with the sheriff's department. I told Claire I don't want to file this with the sheriff's department because what it'll do is create an unnecessary fight with the sheriff's department. When I gave these to you, I told them I don't want to give them to you because if you don't give them to the grand jury, they'll have a fight with you that I don't want to have. And now I'm here having this fight. Now you want me to go to the sheriff's department, so I'll have a fight with them. She insisted, so I did. So tomorrow, I'll be going back and filing criminal charges against this poor deputy who got suckered into taking my complaints. And I'm going to charge him with felony tampering with a government document for doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He took my complaint and gave it to his superiors. He didn't give it to some magistrate the way Article 213 commands. I'm going to ask the grand jury to indict him. And let Claire Dawson Brown explain to this guy why he's on the dime. When you do this sort of thing, everything they do makes it worse. Every step they take makes it uglier. And it's kind of, you know, they're back there, they figure, I'll probably never get this adjudicated. But there's a chance. And who likes to play Russian roulette.
Randy, it would have seemed to me that, and most people believe this, when they hear indictment of a grand jury, whether it be state or federal, they always look at it and believe that it is a tool for prosecutors in which to present their case, if you will, the facts and the reasons why a person should be indicted, or get them into the jurisprudence matrix that has been built inside the United States. Most people believe that this is a tool of prosecutors, whereas this is also a tool for the common man in case we're running up against corrupt judicial procedure.
Yes, prosecutors want you to believe that they control the grand jury. Prosecutors absolutely need you to believe that, because in fact they do not. I was just writing a petition for a court of inquiry today, and in there I quoted a case law under grand jury where it said, unlike the federal system, in the state of Texas, before the grand jury, prosecutors have been reduced to a mere shrivener. Shrivener, great word. Robert Fox loves that word. It means a note taker, a scribe, a secretary. Before a grand jury, a prosecuting attorney has no authority. He can present to them, he can give them advice when they ask for it, but he has no power over them. When a person like me or you goes before a grand jury, they're used to prosecutors coming before them. So when a citizen comes before them, you have really got their attention. And when you start making criminal allegations against public officials, you've got a bunch of people just like you and me. And they really listen. Well, you will be amazed that prosecutors absolutely do not want you to know this, because this scares them more than anything.
Now, we have an issue in this country where we used to have a duality in the court systems. We have now been told that there is nothing there but equity courts, but that has not always been the case. Is that correct?
That's an issue that I'm somewhat familiar with it, but not familiar enough to give any kind of really valuable opinion on.
Okay.
I'm very focused. In the state of Texas, in the penal code, in the beginning, I think it's 104, says that if you are within the territorial boundaries of the state and you violate a penal law of the state of Texas, then the state of Texas has jurisdiction over that penal law. And these guys who talk about contract, being in the state creates the contract as far as penal laws go. And I know a lot of people don't like that, but if you've ever read the Penal Code and Code of Criminal Procedure, you've got all kind of tools to beat the crapola out of these guys with. We just haven't been using them.
Well, we've not had anybody that has taken the time to get focused the way you have.
Yeah, it is very difficult. It was difficult to figure it out because they had it buried so deep.
Mm-hmm.
But once we got it figured out, it really gets down to something pretty simple. As a public official, public officials talk about what you're allowed to do. Well, they're thinking about themselves and transposing that to you and me. You see, public officials can do only what they're allowed to do, specifically by law. You and I, on the other hand, we can do anything we are not very specifically forbidden to do. Now, the police and prosecutors want us to think it's the other way around. And they've used that to hide the courts from us. When I go down there, anyone who tells me anything that I can't do, that the law doesn't say that I can't do it, I consider that a criminal act. And I file criminal charges against them. Yesterday in Bell County, I had about 15 or 20 deputies in front of the district courthouse, and a sergeant from the Belton Police Department was there, and he decided he didn't have jurisdiction and he was going to leave. And I asked him his name, and he said, "I'm through talking to you." "Wait a minute, you didn't give me your name." Big old fat ball-headed guy, come out looking real big and tough, and now he won't tell me his name. "Hey, wait a minute, are you chicken to tell me your name?" And he just walks to his car. He opened the car door, and I yelled out so everybody could hear, "What's your chief gonna think when I tell him you were too chicken to tell me what your name was?" And he jumped in the car, slammed the door, and drove off.
What was the issue at Bell County?
I had a traffic court, and the judge, you know how they do in traffic courts, they ignore law. Well, I had a great time getting them to ignore law. And as soon as they were done, I went down to the district court to file criminal charges against the judge. And instead of giving me a district attorney, I asked to speak to a district attorney. Under the Victims' Rights Amendment, one of the latest amendments to the Texas Constitution, a citizen has a right to consultation with the prosecuting attorney. I asked for an attorney, they gave me an investigator. I asked the investigator to verify this criminal affidavit, present it to the district attorney. Instead, he threw me out of the office. I said, "Well, wait a minute, who are you?" He wouldn't tell me. I said, "You're not going to tell me who you are? You got to be kidding. You know, this is not high school. We're all grown-ups here. You know I can find out. Then you'll have to find out." So, okay, well, before you throw me out, tell me, is that pistol you're wearing loaded? "Yes, it is." "You going to pull that pistol on me? Just get out." And he physically pushed me out of the district attorney's office. So I went to the judge, went to one of the courts, and asked to speak, told the bailiff to tell the judge I had business with the court. I was going to ask the judge to arrest this guy. Two bailiffs came in to throw me out, told me I had to leave the courtroom. I said, "Wait a minute, I'm here to file criminal charges on some investigator at the district attorney's office." "Well, what investigator is that?" "I don't know, some big fat guy in a white shirt." "Well, he's standing right out in the hall." "Oh, yes? Well, what's his name?" And this bailiff looked me right in the eye and said, "I don't know." "You don't know? Come on. You're lying to me, aren't you? Are you lying to me?" I turned to this other bailiff. "Is he lying to me?" Turned back. "I think you're lying like a dog. You're lying, aren't you?" And the guy is standing there wanting to choke me. But there's nothing he can do, and he knows. They order me out of the courthouse. I say, "Okay." And when I get out of the courtroom, he says, "You're going to have to leave the courthouse." So I hold up both arms, and I say, "Okay, guys, grab hold. I'm not going to touch you." "Yeah, you got to touch me." "I'm not going to touch you." I said, "Well, you want to force me out of the courthouse? You have to force me.
You can't levitate me out."
"Yeah, I don't want you to think I'm leaving on my own. Come on, guys, grab hold. Let's take a walk." They would refuse to touch me. Well, I get outside. I call the police. It just turned into a big song and dance. None of that needed happen.
Well, and I wanted to ask you this. We've got a couple calls I want to take here. I don't know if you remember a case about 20 years ago in Michigan where some enterprising individuals started digging into traffic law and made a what I would say is a consequential discovery that driver's licenses in Michigan were only to be held by people that were involved in commercial activity, such as delivery truck drivers or cab drivers or people that would operate semis or trucks on the road or anybody involved in commerce and using a vehicle to do it. And that case had to go away because the problem was that it demonstrated that the common person just using a car, an automobile as they like to call it, on said public highway, they kept telling us it was a privilege granted by the state, and it was not a right.
I have just what you need. I don't have permission from the person who wrote it to put it on my website yet, but if anyone will email me, I will send them a wonderful 20-page brief on right to travel. this, I don't know, I don't remember who wrote it, but whoever it was, I didn't personally know the person. But this is one nice piece of work.
You know,
it will certainly choke a municipal judge.
Well, print me out a copy of that. I'll see you Saturday afternoon.
Yes, I'll bring it with me.
All right.
But if anyone will email me, my email is pewtermail@email.com.
At email.com?
Yes.
Okay.
PUTERMAIL.
The real problem they had with that case in Michigan, the Secretary of State, which is actually the head of the Motor Bureau vehicle in Michigan, they start talking about this, and then they realized that there was a real problem, because all the people that they have pulled over, all the people that they have ticketed, all the people that they threw in jail, all the property they confiscated and sent it to the yard, and they couldn't recover it because they didn't have money. We were talking one heck of a lot of money, but there was also a subject of about 49 other states that were doing the exact same thing. Consequently, they had to kill the lawsuit, because it would have been major. We got a break. We'll come back. We only have about 4 minutes. Henry in Connecticut, and I want to take Wayne in Texas. You guys be brief, because he's got to go and do another 2 hours of radio. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains 3 DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
We're back. Callers, I'm going to ask you to be brief in your question, your comment, and we only have about 4.5 minutes, so let's go to Henry in Connecticut. Hello, Henry.
Yeah, hi. I want to move on real quickly. I just want to ask your guest about habeas corpus. Is there any way we could possibly restore that? Because I heard Bush tried to do away with that. Oh, he did.
And that's you're talking about Bush?
Yeah.
He didn't exactly do away with it. In order to do away with the habeas corpus for an individual,
okay,
he first has to show that the individual is an enemy combatant.
And what about a militia member, even though they're defending the Constitution?
No, he has to.
Cooper.
It takes quite a bit. He can't just say, well, this guy's an enemy combatant. There's a whole bunch.
You have to be a foreigner or something to be an enemy combatant?
No, but you almost have to be. He has to be able to make a direct connection between you and some foreign government or group that has been designated as enemy combatants.
Okay, like that S.E. little country, Israel. That could be a foreign, or Saudi Arabia.
Israel's not considered.
Oh, yeah, but they are. Well, yeah, that's true. They
Bush
are,
doesn't consider them a enemy combatant. So
that's true, but they are, though.
That they may be, but
they sunk the Liberty and everything else. But,
Okay, Bush can't use that. Now,
I see. So in order for them to totally do that, they have to prove that. So they can't just take somebody because they're defending a house. Or,
but the problem with that, okay, Henry, is even if you fall under the designation of being an enemy combatant,
okay,
you can't use the power of habeas corpus to get you in front of a judge to get the legal proceedings going.
Okay.
See, there's the catch right there.
Okay, so he really can't do that.
Well, and like Randy said, it's more difficult for Bush to do that. It's just not a carte blanche, habeas corpus is dead. There are some contingencies there.
Okay.
All righty?
Okay, I'll move on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
bye.
Appreciate it.
I am absolutely no friend of Bush, but that part wasn't as bad as it seemed.
Well,
if we don't scream and holler and raise Cain, they will eventually get it to where as bad as it seems. This is a crack in the cosmic egg here.
Well, and this is not necessarily, and if anybody believes that this is just for enemy combatants of foreign origin, you'd better think again.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Wayne, I got to move on, Randy. Wayne in Texas. Hello, Wayne.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Just a quick question for Randy. Randy, when it comes to illegal immigration, we're seeing almost a complete failure of government officials at several levels to protect our borders and property, et cetera. I know you're big on criminal complaints. Do you see a way where citizens can file criminal complaints against any public official who refuses to obey their oath of office, and as far as removing criminal illegal aliens from our communities?
If you can make a direct connection, to make a general one, actually, with criminal complaints, you can assert anything you want to. That's the cool thing about it.
Yeah.
You can claim anything you want. Doesn't matter. A criminal complaint does no harm.
Does it help to accept their oath of office by registered mail ahead of time before you start demanding them to follow their oath of office?
It makes no difference. They're commanded to follow it whether you accept it or not.
Okay.
I don't even get into that. I just assume that they're commanded to follow it, and if they don't, I want them arrested.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Wayne. I appreciate it. Randy, I'm going to have to bring you back when we have more time than just an hour here. I know you've got to skedaddle. You've got to do another 2 hours of radio. Appreciate you coming on today.
And thank you for giving me the time.
Well, not a problem. And tell Bill Veith he's going to be kidnapped. He'll be bound and gagged. Set in front of a television set and forced to watch Titanic at least 25 times straight. He'll know exactly what I mean. I'll see you, sir, Saturday.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Randy. All right, folks, we'll take the break here. Be back in about 2 minutes, and we'll get into other issues in the next hour. Some of it good news, some of it bad news. We'll be right back. Hour two.
It's true.